Chapter 6. Lesson 3, Your Flight Plan. Goals, Plans, and the Path to Wealth. Our ability to establish high-level goals is arguably the pinnacle of human brain evolution. Adam Ghazali and Larry D. Rosen, The Distracted Mind. If you could travel back in time to the earliest days of life on Earth, you'd discover that you share one thing in common with your primitive ancestors: goals. Even back in the primordial soup of our distant evolutionary past, back before brains and nervous systems, single-celled organisms were oriented toward goals. They had simple detectors that allowed them to sense chemicals and move toward what was good for them and away from what wasn't. Over millennia, that basic goal-seeking behavior has been vastly improved upon. But at our core, humans are still very much a seek-and-avoid species. We survive through seeking out what allows us to survive and avoiding what doesn't. Surviving, however, is very different from thriving. Financial survival is something that almost everyone on the planet does well. People get by. They eat. They find shelter. They go to work. They get paid. They come home. But making a living, as they say, isn't the same as making a life. Financially thriving means more than surviving. It means taking the basic pleasure-pain dichotomy of evolution up to a whole new level. A level you can reach when you harness your mornings to your advantage. Goals and plans. While we still seek pleasure and avoid pain, humans do have a lot of advanced brain functions at our disposal. The first of these functions is that we can set goals for the future. Our complex brains allow us to not only imagine a future for ourselves, as we did in the last chapter, but also to set clear goals along the way that can help make that future a reality. The second is that after we set goals for the future, we can create a plan to reach them. We can craft the steps, envision the obstacles, and identify the resources we need to reach a goal. Goals help you bring your vision to life. Plans help you reach your goals. I call this combination your flight plan. It's a simple metaphor, but it works well. If you want to fly somewhere, you need two pieces of information in your plane: the destination, goal, and the map, plan. Both are essential. It's all well and fine to want to fly to New York, but if you've gathered your compass and your plane without a map, you'll be flying in random directions that won't get you anywhere close to the Big Apple. You've probably experienced what it's like to have one piece without the other in your own life. Set a goal with no plan, and you get some short-lived excitement, but eventual disappointment when your goals don't materialize of their own accord. You get the rush of attending yet another seminar or setting another New Year's resolution, but then drift back to business as usual. Similarly, all planning and no goals leads to a whole lot of busyness that never seems to amount to anything. You're in motion, but your energy isn't directed. You're just drifting through your life. As my wealth has grown, I've learned that one of the defining elements of millionaires is how purposeful they are. You don't meet many millionaires, and I have met many, who don't have both pieces of the flight plan. They know what their goals are and what their plan is to reach them. They know what they're doing that day, that week, that month, and they know where they're headed. If you want your life to match the vision that you've created, you need to have the same purposeful approach. You need to have both a destination and a route. You need a flight plan. In this chapter, we'll look at how to use your miracle morning to A, create goals that mean something to you, and B, build a plan to lead you to them. Goals, the millionaire way. I keep two things in my journal: my thoughts, and my goals. My thoughts are what gets scribed during my morning ritual, a collection of ideas, scribbles, brain dumps, and other musings. It's an ongoing process and not highly structured. The back of my journal, however, is a different story. That's where I keep my goals. As a habitual goal setter who's committed to my vision, I read my goals in the morning as part of my savers. As I accomplish my goals, I put a highlighter line through them. I even use different colors to define my goals by category. Lest you think I was a born goal setter and type A list maker, let me set the record straight. In school, I was a C student and a terrible procrastinator. If there was work to be done, I'd put it off as long as possible. I hate to admit this, but I bought some CDs once that were supposed to contain subliminal anti-procrastination messages. I'm not sure if they worked. All I heard was ocean waves. But I know I continued to procrastinate for many, many years after. I'm not sure if there's a word for the opposite of setting and accomplishing goals, but I do know that I was the very definition of it for many years. If you struggle to define where you're headed, and you struggle even more to get there once you decide, please understand that you haven't been handed a life sentence for financial mediocrity. After some fumbling around, however, it was clear that I'd indeed made a choice to be wealthy. But I hadn't found the path and the self-discipline. I was just slamming my foot on the accelerator and hoping to get somewhere, preferably earning a truckload of money along the way. In my mid-20s, when I began to get into business, I started to see that goals were helpful. It was great to have some sense of where I was headed. But once I wrote down a goal, it seemed destined to vanish into some sort of purgatory where I never looked at it again. And, as a result, never thought about it much. As far as I could tell, goals went to wherever all those missing socks from the dryer went. Since then, I refined my goal-setting process to something that works extraordinarily well. Not only has it allowed me to transform from an extreme procrastinator into a goal-oriented achiever, but it's aligned what I do with many of the self-made millionaires of the world. 1. Set goals in a peak state. One of the biggest surprises on my journey to better goal setting was that the goal itself was only part of the picture. What made an enormous difference was the state in which I set the goal. If, for example, I set a goal when I was tired, overwhelmed, or discouraged, I was far more likely to fail. Conversely, goals I set when I was feeling energized, optimistic, and confident were ones that I was far more likely to stick to and accomplish. The second state, the heightened one in which I was feeling at my best and most confident, is what psychologists call a peak state. It's a mindset in which you have increased awareness, mood, and energy. If you can capture and set goals in that state, you'll create goals that are far more inspiring and that resonate with you. This is where mornings come in. The miracle morning is an ideal way to have more consistent and more powerful peak experiences before the day gradually draws you further and further into details and narrower thinking. During your morning routine, watch for moments when you're touched, moved, or inspired. It may come during exercise, reading, scribing, or periods of silence. Any point in the savers is an opportunity for inspiration. And when it comes, capture it. Write it down in your journal. Not just the goal, but also the context around it. What were you doing? Thinking, feeling. What led you to think, I want to do that? Of course, inspiration can arrive at any time, and you can try to create that state intentionally by watching inspiring movies, reading motivational books, or going to places that you find energizing. Your powerful emotional context could be a place in nature, a cafe, or at 40,000 feet high in an airplane. It might be found during a church service, as you spend time with friends, or while listening to a song. Powerful states offer two advantages. The first is that you can set better goals. You'll choose things that energize you and that you want. The second advantage is that the state changes something you can return to when you review your goals or when you hit an obstacle on your path. Feeling discouraged? You can visit that bridge overlooking the river where you first set your goal. Procrastinating? Go for that hike where you get your best ideas and solve tough problems. Afraid of a next step? Put on that song that triggers a state change for you. The objective is to change your state to one in which you're touched, moved, and inspired by something. To channel the mindset that opens your perception of what's possible and gives you the energy to keep going in the face of adversity. Peak states are fuel for your goals. They're a resource you draw on to become the you deep inside that wants more from life, including wealth. The you that wants a much bigger box than the one you're in. 2. Be flexible. For years, I wanted to run a marathon. It's the classic of all physical goals, a test of mind and body and spirit. All the early morning training, dedication, pushing through the wall. Running a marathon just seemed like something I should do. I trained. I did those early morning runs. I squeezed in the treadmill time. And as a milestone on the marathon journey, I did what many people do. I signed up for a half marathon. It was awful. I felt terrible for days after that race. So terrible that I abandoned my marathon goal for the year. And then I set the goal again. Along the way, I once more signed up for a half marathon. Once again, I felt awful. I didn't like it during or after the race. I talked to a mentor of mine about the goal. He loved running, but he was plagued with knee and ankle problems. I didn't want those either. One morning, I looked at the goal and thought, I don't love this. I don't want to do it. So I took it off the list and never looked back. The marathon for me was a should goal. I felt it was something I should do to prove to myself that I could. But I didn't want to do the work. I didn't want to run a marathon. I wanted to be someone who had run a marathon. I wanted the medal, but none of the work. This is especially true of wealth goals. Shoulds are not great goal material. You're either going to do them or you aren't. But they aren't the stuff of change, and they aren't going to accelerate your path to wealth. For that reason, you should be willing to reconsider them carefully and let them go as necessary. Of the 25 to 30 goals I set in a year, I probably ditch about 10% of them. Some are small, some are large, but they all share one thing. They can be changed. Goals for me are living, breathing things. They change as you change. They can come and go. Like milk, goals can have an expiration date. Sometimes a goal only fits a certain period in your life and is either outgrown or needs to be put on hold. I love golf, for example. Normally, I play in tournaments and I set goals for my performance. But this year, I found I wasn't focused on it. I was starting a new company and I was very inspired by that process. I found that while I was on the course, instead of focusing on my golf, I was thinking about work. I'd play great for 8 to 9 holes, then play terribly. The truth was, I wanted to work more than I wanted to golf. Golfing wasn't giving me the emotional fire. It had lost its context, at least temporarily. I had written on my goal list to take 10 golf lessons with a pro to improve my game. I won't hit that goal this year, and that's okay because my inspiration is elsewhere. I didn't just quit. It was a conscious choice, based on feedback. I knew I had to stop fighting the truth that I wasn't inspired by the goal, and I needed to make a conscious change. While it's okay to let a goal go if it doesn't inspire or serve you, understand that economic success requires that you pick something that you stick to and find success in. We're going to dig into persistence and quitting in Lesson 5, The Woodpecker Effect. But understand that while you need a certain amount of grit to become a millionaire, no goal is a life sentence. 3. Review your goals. It's shockingly easy to lose touch with your goals. You'd think that a goal that you set in a peak state, one that energized you and inspired you to take action, wouldn't need further reflection. But life has a way of bringing goal decay to even your most inspiring plans. Your miracle morning is a perfect time to review your goals. It's the easiest time to find a peak state to touch base with the original inspiration that powered your goal. And it's often a time when we are at our most optimistic. I don't review my big goals daily, but I like to touch base at least once a week with my flight plan. It's a chance to revisit my inspiration, check my direction and progress, and double check that I'm still following a path that will lead me to the life I want. 4. Reward yourself. Not every goal is its own inspiration. My 240 workouts a year don't inspire me, to be honest. But to get where I want to go, I know I have to look after my body. So I do them. For me, the workouts are gas in the tank. Regardless of the goal, however, I find it helpful to include some R&R, some reward and recharge. That helps me to keep high levels of purposeful energy toward my plan. Rewards are a critical way of closing the goal loop. You don't have to fly in a private jet to Bora Bora to reward yourself. You could drive to the nearest state park and make s'mores over a fire. But I do believe you need the rewards. Not just as a carrot to keep you moving, but as an acknowledgement that you've accomplished something. Simply moving forward and never rewarding yourself, for me, is a message to your subconscious that all this work is for no real reason. When you say you can't afford a vacation, consider that you might be telling your subconscious that you don't need any more money because you're not going to take vacations anyway. Rewards also serve to help you recharge. If you treat your spirit and your body like a horse that you whip in order to work harder, the horse will eventually fail. The spirit will eventually die. Treat your horse well. Feed it well. Take it on nice vacations if you can. Do that, and it'll perform for you in the race of life. And don't forget, the reverse is true. Overfeed your horse and reward it for the wrong things, and it'll get fat and slow. I try to take a vacation once a quarter with my family. It doesn't have to be epic or expensive. You can hike in a national park for very little, but it's important to do. I've found that as a result of those breaks, I've become more productive and earned more money, not less. Reward yourself with powerful experiences. Those experiences in turn give you new ideas, resources, capabilities, and an expanded sense of possibility. Plans that drive wealth. Goals are destinations. They're where you want to arrive. They can change and inspire and be living documents, but they're still only where you want to be, not where you are. To get to your goals, you're going to need a plan. There are many ways to plan as there are goals, and you should create yours the way that suits you. But here are the essential pieces of the planning puzzle that are most likely to lead you to success. 1. Always have a smallest next step. Just as a map won't show you everything you'll encounter on a trip, plans don't include every step you'll need to take. But there is one step that's essential, the next one. This is one of the best tricks I know of to keep moving forward with your plan. Always have the next step, no matter how ridiculously small it is. When I get stuck on a plan, it's almost always because the next step is unclear, or I have some fear about taking it. In either case, the problem can usually be solved by writing down the smallest possible next action. Sometimes that step is as simple as ask a friend for advice. Sometimes it's to look up a phone number. But it never fails. Make a small enough next step, and you'll find yourself moving into action mode. 2. Anticipate obstacles. There are no perfect roads on the path to wealth. You will encounter problems, obstacles, and difficult decision points. With that in mind, you might as well be prepared for them. It's easy to imagine obstacles like running out of cash or entering a recession. And while those are important to anticipate, remember that obstacles aren't always external. You'll want to put even more emphasis on internal obstacles. What habits might derail you? What fears might stop you cold? What skills, experience, or insight do you lack? What are the most obvious problems you might face? For each, list the most likely internal and external obstacles, and then use part of your miracle morning to envision how you can overcome them. 3. Revisit the plan. There's a saying that no battle plan survives contact with the enemy. In other words, plans tend to change once you get them out into the real world. That doesn't mean they aren't vitally important, but it does mean you need to consider them as a map where the roads tend to shift. This is where mornings shine. As with your goals, mornings are the perfect time to revisit your plan with a clear and calm head. That's the time when you can review with the best perspective and the most creativity to adapt to change. What plans look like? Plans aren't goals, and they aren't just to-do lists. They're a roadmap of how you want to get from A to B, from where you are now to the life of abundance that you want to have. Let's say, for example, that you're a realtor who wants to become a millionaire. What might your plan look like? One plan, at the simplest level, could be this. 1. Become the best realtor I can be in order to maximize my commissions. 2. Save 30% of all commissions to create a fund for purchasing a rental property. Buy an investment property. Manage that property effectively. Leverage that property to buy another. Amass 10 rental properties. Pay them off. Be a millionaire. This is a viable, repeatable plan to become a millionaire. It's been done by many people and can be done again. What it doesn't include is every actionable item along the way. Every one of the previous steps is going to include multiple other tasks. And while you can't know all of them, you can know what the next one might be. For example, 1. Become the best realtor I can be in order to maximize my commissions. Next step, hire a coach. 2. Save 30% of all commissions to create a fund for purchasing a rental property. Next step, open a separate bank account for my fund. 3. Buy an investment property. Next step, set up an appointment with my bank to review financials and terms. 4. Manage that property effectively. Next step, interview 5 rental property management companies. None of those steps are particularly daunting, but for our fictional realtor, they all might be essential. Every day, there will be new next steps, but the overall plan may remain more or less the same. We can make a variation on that plan for a construction worker, a teacher, or an accountant. All that changes are a few details. The construction worker might focus on fixer-uppers. The teacher might look for a property available in the spring to be ready for rental while school is out when they can do the work themselves. The accountant might have access to alternative funding sources besides the bank. The power of the plan isn't in knowing everything. It's in knowing the destination, the ideal route for you, and the next step to get there. Now versus the future. Flight plans are fundamentally about the future. They guide your steps. They tell you where to go next and why, and where those next steps are supposed to take you. A good flight plan tells you where you're headed, how fast, and how to get there. But it's important to remember that there is a now. That now is the life you're living, and it's wise to make time for it. I've seen far too many millionaires who denied themselves a now to the detriment of their relationships, their health, and their happiness. One question I like to ask people is, what's one thing you've always wanted to do with your life that you've put off? I've heard many, many answers, including, I want to visit Italy. I want to return to the place my ancestors came from. I want to get in shape. I want to learn to cook. I like to follow that by asking, when are you going to do that? Again, there are many, many answers. When I can afford it. When I have more time. When I retire. When the kids are gone. The most striking thing about those two questions? The answer to the first one is exciting and hopeful. The answer to the second is, in the long run, often tragic. Goals are about the future, but don't make the mistake of putting off everything until some distant date when you have time, money, and health. It's always possible that the time might never arrive. Set goals. Create plans. Become your best self. Build the wealth you desire. But don't forget that you have a now that is also filled with promise. Morning Millionaires. Oprah Winfrey starts her morning with 20 minutes of meditation, which she says fills her with hope, a sense of contentment, and deep joy. Next, she hits the treadmill to get her heart rate pumping. Winfrey swears that at least 15 minutes of exercise improves her productivity and boosts energy levels. Next, Winfrey tunes herself in by going for a walk, listening to music, or preparing a nice meal. Finally, she always concludes her ritual by eating a healthy meal full of complex carbohydrates, fiber, and protein. Brian Adams, Inc. Online.